Coleman Ochter, how are you?
Good, thanks, Ray. How are you?
Good. Come in closer to your phone there and we'll get you. Are you on a laptop or what are you on?
I'm on a laptop. Is it struggling to hear me?
No, if you just come closer to wherever the microphone is, it'd be great.
Okay, sorry about that.
We're all getting used to this this new way of working. Anyway, Coleman, as you know, is our child and adolescent psychotherapist and he's offering help on any parenting issues you might have. How are things with you, Coleman?
Busy, Ray.
Yes.
I've never seen anything like it. I'd say the last 3 weeks, the phone and emails just happen. Everyone's, I think this is the peak of the mental health pandemic, if I can put it that way. It doesn't look good out there, Ray, in fairness.
Doesn't it? No.
There's a lot of people struggling. And again, I think the ominousness of returning to round two, a lot of fatigue, a lot of deflation, a lot of upset, and a lot of worry, I think, really, about schools staying open, etc. So,
And none of this is self-fulfilling, is it not? You know, if people hear, you know, it's been said on the radio all the time and hear it on the television that they feel that that's the way they should feel, if you know what I mean.
I mean, I guess there's a side to that. And again, you know, a lot of it comes down to what we expect from our lives, you know, and how the difference between our expectation and reality is the space we have for unhappiness. But
right.
I genuinely think there's a lot of people who are really lost. And the thing I'm noticing, Ray, is that people, again, who've been managing really well, who've been making really good lifestyle choices, have no access to mental fitness. So when you're saying to someone, socialize, mix with your friends, have a hobby.
Yes.
They've been doing that for 6 years and coping. But now that they can't do any of it,
of course,
all the stuff is coming back. And so, look, I know I'm sounding bleak and I apologize, but I wouldn't be giving you an accurate account.
No, but that's, I asked you how were things in your world and you're giving me an honest answer. Okay, so this is samples of what's happening in people's lives then. Coleman, I have during lockdown separated from my husband. My son is 3 years old. He started hitting me and his grandparents, which I think is connected to getting attention. One example, if we were doing a video call with family and the conversation has moved on from him and not involving him, he hits. I'm overwhelmed with the volume of parenting books, thinking step, time out, cool down, all this advice. I'm using a cool down chair as he gets very angry and agitated. Positive discipline sounds good. I want him to learn there are consequences to his behaviour. What is the most constructive way to deal with this, especially when the tantrum of screaming starts? He gets very angry. But he has also started hitting other children in play school. Please help.
That goes
on to say, he's an only child. We have good boundaries, one cartoon a day, but we'll kick off if he watches more than one with grandparents. He sees his dad weekly and it's all positive. We have a family walk together. Doing my best, but it's challenging.
Okay, first of all, very sorry to hear this listener has separated over the lockdown period. That's really difficult. But in terms of this little kid, he's three, so his ability to emotionally regulate is not, he hasn't got that capacity. So he's going to need a lot of help with that. The attention-seeking behaviour, I wonder if he has moved in with granny and granddad since lockdown. And maybe if there's three different sets of rules, you know, sometimes granny can let you do a little bit more, granddad lets you do a little bit more, mum makes you do a little bit less. So when the boundary is unclear, it'll just continually be tested to see which is the right one. You know, granddad lets me pull all on, drag him out of it. Mom doesn't let me do that. Mom lets me one cartoon, granny lets me three. So all that is kind of a lot of that testing behavior. What she's describing is kind of attention seeking. I'd say given the disruption to this lad's life with maybe the loss of dad over the last while, he's probably relationship seeking as opposed to attention seeking. You have to kind of keep that in mind. But a 3 year old is a conditional child. So he has to have sanction for hitting and, you know, lashing out and all that sort of stuff. I'd ease off on the parenting books. If you've read two, you've probably read enough. You know, the advice is overwhelming. But disattending to misbehavior and trying to not pay attention, not give that the visibility, try and catch him being good. If you know the phone call or the FaceTime call is a challenge, when it's ringing, you know, say, if you can manage this, we're going to do something nice afterwards or get you a treat afterwards, so that you're giving him something to aim for, because just asking him to behave himself means nothing to a 3-year-old. Do you know what I mean? From that point of view, what you mean. Yeah. So really short-term boundaries, but a little bit of understanding. The adjustments of what has happened in his life over the last number of months is going to take a little while for him to manage.
And how much would he know about that? You know, how much can a 3-year-old process?
they won't know anything about the detail, but they'll know what it feels like. Do you know what I mean? So they'll feel absence, and they'll feel stress, and they feel uncertainty, and they feel ambience. And as much as every parent tries to protect them from that, they have this antenna to pick it up. And look, if dad's there all the time and he's not there all the time anymore, that change will be noticed by even the smallest child. So, you know, we know children learn so quickly, and we give them all this credit for the neurons firing, but we sometimes feel that they don't take in the bad stuff. They take in that as well. Do you know what I mean? From that point of view. So, it's just to accommodate and make some allowances for his little bit of chaotic behavior at the moment. In the context of the change, it's probably understandable. And I think if she weathers it out with consistency and predictability, containing the misbehavior, it should set. Do you know, and it's great that himself and his dad have an ongoing good relationship, and she seems to be able to do that with his dad too.
That's important, and highlight good behaviour.
Now, catch him being good. Catch him being good.
My daughter, 14, struggling at the moment, feels it's too much. I feel it's too much internet and COVID. No sport, no games. How do I get her out of feeling like this? She says she's low and feels like there's no point.
Yeah, I'm wondering when you say that, whether she feels it's too much internet and COVID. I mean, again, the COVID thing is so unfair because it's really struck at the kids who were really active. Do you know what I mean? The kids who engaged in lots of activities and had all the organized stuff and who were in leagues and in team sports, all that sort of stuff. All those kids have been really disenfranchised by it. Whereas the kids who were kind of screen sitting in their rooms kind of have not noticed that much of a jolt in terms of their reality. So there's a little bit of an unfairness that the kids who usually were kind of keeping busy outside are now having to find busyness online. And that, you know, not every child loves the online world. Some of them find it really artificial, false, manufactured and non-authentic. And so when you're limited to that, it is a real shock. And I'm speaking to kids all the time and teenagers, young adults, who are really struggling with this way of being at the moment. Do you know what I mean? Not having the freedom of movement to go. Yes. And, you know, having a taste of that through September and the staycations and everything else, and then back to it again. There's almost, some were saying, like, it's like a window of time that we're going to miss out on. And there's a real sense that, you know, you're only 15 once. And if you're, you know, if you don't get the chance to be 15, then that's gone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. But but you can postpone things and this will pass and, you know, you will be able to play sport. And then there are alternatives, you know, like you can start running, for example. You know, you might encourage your one of your parents to go running with you, or they could go on the bike and you can do a run. You know, so there are alternatives. Yeah.
And absolutely. And we have to be creative. But I just think, you know, for that 15-year-old and 17-year-old, we can sometimes dismiss the experience as, when we're looking back in our 40s plus and saying, you know, it's no big deal.
Yes, fair enough.
If they don't have a Debs, you know, they do miss that. It's probably those. And the first year in college group, Ray, are they're really struggling. Yes. You know, they're feeling they're really missing out on something. And I having my life experience behind me, I don't think it's as big a deal as they're making out. But I can understand it's a big deal for them.
Of course. So what's the advice to this woman with her 14-year-old?
Again, trying to get her as involved as possible and within the limitations is the thing, trying to keep her motivation going. I mean, again, trying to put some degree of finality or timeline on it, that, you know, this is a 6-week lockdown and it's done with the process, that we can hopefully enjoy Christmas and that there will be some light at the end of the tunnel. And look, if we go lockdown again in January, so be it. We'll have another break to look forward to. 6 weeks isn't a long time. You know, we'll be able to do, what can we do in the meantime? And when you're doing, and I'm guessing this girl is anxious and anxiety, I'm repeating this a lot, but I think it makes an awful lot of sense. When you're anxious, you overestimate the challenge and you underestimate your own ability. Okay. And what you need to do is put the challenge in perspective and really nurture your sense of your own ability and really try and believe in what power and control you have over your own controllable variable to make, like, you know, pick up, and again, you know, people saying, oh, I learned another language over lockdown, and that can make you feel a bit sick sometimes because you didn't. But, you know, this time round, like, you know, take up a guitar, go on a YouTube channel, try and find someone. As you say, run. If you can do something within 5K, take that up. You know, look for some, you know, I don't know, try do a Joe Wicks program, something like that. Try. And again, we always say, when I feel better, I'll do something different. And I'd always say, well, when you do something different, you'll feel better.
There we can. That's a good way to end it. And the anxiety thing, that's interesting. Just say that again for people. When you're anxious, you...
you overestimate the challenge and underestimate your own ability.
Yes, yeah.
And what you have to do is put the challenge, invite context, perspective, and reality into the conversation and nurture your own ability. You can do this. We can do this. Okay. We will do this.
Great.
But it's just having to do it and get through it. But yeah. Stay strong, I think.
Okay. Thanks, Coleman. Mind yourself.
All the best, right?
We'll talk to you soon. Bye now. That's Coleman Nochter there.